o'clock hour here on this Tuesday edition of Chuck and Buck in the Morning. Sports Radio 950 KJR. Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobson, and Christopher Kidd with you. We go through the ABCs of the M's a little bit later on this hour. Also, we spend some time talking about the NBA will rig the NBA lottery for a little bit later on today. So very exciting in the National Basketball Association to find out who is owed a favor. Which owner, because that's usually who ends up getting the number one selection overall. But more on that coming up at 7:30. A lot of other ground to cover here this morning, including the baby watch. Bucky, are you still with us at 7 o'clock?
Still here. Yep, going to head over after this next break. Usually they're awake around this time, and hopefully it's still just Kate and Bear, and Grace is still in Kate's belly. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. Otherwise, we could have an issue, and you could have to figure out a way to do the show with just you and Chris.
Well, if it's going to be with Chris and I, then I need an explanation as to why we couldn't book his best friend until today. It took 3 weeks. What happened there, kid? What happened? What was going on there?
You know?
There he is.
You know, that's a great question. All you got to do is say, kid, can you get a hold of Mike? And I'm like, sure. Because I didn't know what order. I know you guys had a few people that you had in mind. And I didn't know when you wanted Mike.
Yeah, it actually works out. I don't care when we get these people, at what point. You know,
gotcha.
Obviously we want to get everybody on at some point during this little series that we're doing. But I kept asking for him, Bucky, and I kept thinking, why is Dugar so difficult to book? Like, I'm pretty sure that Chris could, like, call him during the break. Why are we having such a
Yeah, he'd be down, Dugar.
This is like me wanting to get your mom on, Bucky, and in 3 weeks it takes you to book her for the show.
Yeah, I don't know. She just wouldn't answer my phone calls. Come on, Mom, I need you to come on the show. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm down with you on that one. I think kids just didn't know for sure when we needed it, but still, I'm glad we're getting them on regardless.
Yeah, no, I'm not. It's not even a kid. It's like it goes through Slick Hawk. And
right.
then I just keep getting information from Slick Hawk that he's not available. And I'm like, kid, why don't we just ask kid to do it? Everybody's on the same text. Here's the text.
Right.
Everybody can see I want to get Dugar on at some point. Why is he not available? So anyway, we're going to have him on today at 9 o'clock. I mean, I'm not angry. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. I'm saying it to be funny. It doesn't feel like it's being taken that way. So 9 o'clock this morning, we will have our Seahawks 1 series that's going to take place. Michael Sean Dugar will join us to discuss Quandre Diggs and Quandre Diggs alone. So we look forward to that at 9 o'clock. All right, Bucky. Yesterday, big story, the NCAA may be being pushed out, for goodness sake, as the governing body over college athletics. It seems that yesterday's Supreme Court ruling of 9-0 that declared for the world that what the NCAA has done has simply been illegal all these years. I mean, they are not above the law, and they have acted that way throughout the course, really, of college sports history in trying to limit players from trying to make money while they're there on campus and while they're there under scholarship. And so that's going to change. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports, who's been all over this subject for a number of years, he does a great job with it, went as far as writing yesterday that amateurism is dead in college athletics and the NCAA is sure to follow. So that's the big story from yesterday. And Bucky, I mean, I don't know how this is going to play itself out. We discussed yesterday this could be something really good if it's handled the right way and embraced. But there's a chance that this thing could be catastrophic. I mean, this could be Armageddon for college athletics. If it goes sideways, it might spell the end of college athletics as we know it, at least for football and for basketball, the revenue-generating sports on campus. I'll say this. It's hard for me to kind of personally relate, though. I mean, all right, so I didn't have really a college career, Bucky. I was a walk-on who got on his college baseball team on reputation alone from my high school days before I was injured. And then, so I was the only walk-on, I was the only freshman on a team, all right? And clearly then the only walk-on freshman. And so I don't know if I owe money for the tape that was used to haze me my freshman year. When they strapped me, they taped me to that gurney and hit fungos at me in the rain in center field. I mean, do I owe the university for the tape that was used to bind me? I'm not sure. I feel like there was maybe an NCAA infraction at that point on my part.
Yeah, well, it should be. I mean, tape's not free, Chuck. And yeah. While it was used, probably not for anything that would be deemed a part of college athletics for your teammates. They thought it was most certainly part of your growth, and you figuring something out, apparently. And so, yeah, I think that you probably do. You should probably go back and check on that. I would imagine statute of limitations has run out, so I think that you're probably safe at this point.
I think I owe somebody like $3.50.
Yeah.
And it's bothering
me. There's a good chance. Yeah.
Kept me up last night. Yeah,
just send them. You could Venmo them or PayPal or something, I'm sure. Get that off your chest.
Yeah, I just get it off my because I want to be legal. You know, I don't need that.
Don't want them coming after you.
Yeah, I don't need that black mark on my record. But Buggy, I mean, Dennis Dodd is going as far as saying that hey, there's not going to be a cap to anything. I mean, you know, these universities, these programs can creatively say that this player needs a yacht in order to feel most comfortable as an athlete on our campus. So we got him a yacht.
That's crazy.
I mean, we don't know the rules. We don't know what kind of restrictions are going to be placed. But, you know, based on the ruling that came in yesterday, that they're basically saying whatever a guy can make. And who is it? Who's to say that a president of a university is allowed to restrict that individual's ability to create money off of his own image, likeness, or whatever the case might be?
Well, I mean, there's a reasonable argument for that. I mean, no doubt about it. I was poor as all get out, I mean, during college. I mean, literally eating top ramen for multiple meals a day. I just didn't have money. I know I obviously found enough money to have beer on the weekend, so I mean, I guess I wasn't in that bad of shape, but I was not by any stretch of the imagination living the high life. And so I think that there's room for improvement, obviously. The NCAA, the way in which college athletes have been used to some extent, or exploited, as some people will say, is broken. And so there's something that needs to change. But this is just such a slippery slope, man. I mean, if you say that there's no rules, it's just, yep, well, whatever he can get, he can get. Now, to me, you start getting into the bidding war. You start getting into something that looks nothing like what college is anymore. People aren't going there because of the program. They're not going to be going to certain places because of the coach, or because this guy, they think that this coaching staff has the best ability to turn them into something. They're definitely not going to be going to a certain university because of the education part of it, which used to be a huge part of it. They're just going to be going where somebody will pay them the most, or where they will figure out a way to make them the most money, however you want to turn that and skew that towards your argument. To me, it just seems like it's a slippery slope, man, and I don't know for sure. I mean, as an Oregon Duck fan, I mean, it's one of those, okay, if we're saying that a booster can do whatever they want, I mean, does that seem like it would work out well in favor of the Ducks if Phil Knight can just be like, hey, here's a deal. I want you to come and watch shoes at the Nike outlet store. I want you you don't have to do any work. I just want you to sit there for 10 minutes a day, and I'm going to pay you $500,000 for the season. I mean, there's going to be a whole bunch of people that are going to sign me up, because you get to change your family's world. You get to change your world. You all of a sudden are living like a professional athlete while you're still considered an amateur athlete. And so I just don't know for sure, man. Yesterday we were talking about how this can go a couple different ways. It can go well, and it can be prosperous, and it could be the evolution of something that has been broken, and it can work out well, or it could be disastrous and absolutely just make this thing implode. I'm actually more on the side of, I think that if they don't figure out a way to take baby steps in this direction, right, with maybe the idea of continuing to make advancements, but we're going to make it kind of strict rules on here's what we can do, and we're just going to take baby steps in the direction of compensation for college athletes. If they just kind of blow the lid off it and say, hey, do what you're going to do, I think it could be disastrous.
Well, yeah, I think that absolutely that possibility exists. I mean, you know, and it exists because of how, I mean, it's been wrong. The process has been flawed the entire time, and the NCAA has been allowed to get away with it. I'm amazed that it took this long for somebody to crack down on what's happening. So, it's out of the bag now. Cat's out of the bag. So, I would ask you, how would you do this? I mean, I presented a proposal, and I think I'll probably recap it again here if we have time this morning, yesterday. So, I don't know if you necessarily like right. that, but, I mean, there's going to have to be. Somebody's got to figure out a way to do this. So, how on earth would you satisfy this? How would you pay the athletes?
I would make it something small, and when I say small, it just still is not going to be small for compared to what they're getting now, right? Zero, anything over zero is going to be nice, right? But I would make it something. I mean, I was reading some stuff and doing some number crunching last night, and it was somewhere around $3.6 billion is what the NCAA brings in, right? Just basically, and most of that is football players or football teams and the basketball teams. Football kind of pays for everything. Basketball in some programs pays for itself. The rest of them basically are just kind of, you know, siphoning off of what football is bringing in. It comes out to be 180,000 student athletes that are basically on scholarship. I would think that there's a way where you could divvy that up, and it comes out to about 20 grand per player. And you just, and I don't care if you're a swimmer or a football player. To me, you're going to school to get an education just in case. And more often than not, you don't get to go on and play professional football. So what your education is what you're getting for free is something that is investing in your future and your ability to make an income. Now, the crazy thing about that is a college degree is not worth what it used to be worth. I mean, 40 years ago, if you had a college degree, that was something big. Nowadays, if your college degree is in some social sciences, that's about the same as getting a high school diploma nowadays, but that doesn't mean that's what you have to go into. If you want to work extra hard and get a degree in biology and eventually become a doctor if you don't play professional, that's a tough task to do, to juggle the whole school and play in your sport. That's a tough thing to do, but if you take that free education you're getting to get a degree in biology or something like that, now you've used that free education to further your financial capabilities later on in life. So, but if just for the bare bones part of while you're in school, they're making money off of you while you're putting your body at risk out there. If you want to say, hey, I need some sort of compensation, you get 20 grand. 20 grand a year is a lot of money for a college student, in my opinion. I mean, it's not what 20 grand doesn't go near as far as it used to. But if you would have told me right off the bat, I'm getting 20 grand, I would have been happy as a pig and you know what.
Yeah, the only problem is that is absolutely against the ruling yesterday. I mean, the ruling is that you can't put restrictions on what a human being can earn. If they have earning potential, then you can't put those restrictions on them. And so that's what they are deeming is above the law. And then on top of it all, if you're going to do that, if you're really going to go and you're going to pay swimmers and band members and everybody, where does it end? On that end, when there's only two sports, there's only two types of athletes that are even generating any revenue on campus. And so how is that achievable? I mean, it's been achievable in the past because nobody's made money, but how long before the young players start to balk and they don't even want to be a part of this process? I'm telling you, this has to be factored in. The G League and the NBA is going to become a big, big deal. I mean, it's underway, and it's going to become a big deal. And if the National Football League, you got all these other pro leagues that are trying to start, if they ever wise up and somebody starts one of these extra pro leagues that is a minor league for football, then football at the college level is in big trouble as well. Because if you're going to sit there and say, all right, you can come play college football, put just as much on the line, risk just as much, may not get as a good a – you won't have the same freedoms – you won't eat as well, you know. You're going to get just as good a coaching, you know, at the professional level as in a minor league system. Or you can go to campus, you know, have all of those restrictions, make as much as the guy that's on the chess team. You know, I mean, what's going to happen at that point? So this, you're right. I mean, you said this yesterday, and I reiterated it. This is slippery Slopeville, you know, and the doors are open. You know, for anybody to come live there. I mean, this is as slippery a slope as you're ever going to find in a sports topic right here, because nobody really knows how to do this right now. I think there are a lot of people are in agreement that what was happening in college athletics was wrong, but I don't know if anybody has got a surefire solution for how you go forward. But I will tell you what we learned yesterday is your proposal is what they've deemed unconstitutional. Your proposal is what they've said you can't do to amateur athletes. You can't restrict how much money that they can make with their own being and likeness.
Well, the whole thing, I'm not saying that they can't still do. Now, what if you want to go do a legit autograph signing, right? You're the quarterback at University of Michigan or something, some big-time school. You're a quarterback, and you can go make money doing some legit autograph signing. I don't think they should take that away. I'm just saying just a bare bones, here's what the university can do to where we're taking a step in that direction. Because if you all of a sudden have no cap on any of this stuff, you most certainly are going to have to you're going to be shelling out the big bucks for the sports that bring in the most money. So you're going to be going and getting the prize possession, the big recruits in football and in basketball, because that's where it's going to be. And right now, we're in the middle of this big-time thing in our world of trying to make everything fair for everybody, right? Regardless of whether or not life isn't fair, but we want to try to make everything fair for everybody. Well, you're going to go in the opposite direction, because you're going to once you start paying athletes, and especially if it's not some even Steven just across the board, you're an athlete, here's what you get, and then you can go get a job or you can go do something else. If that's not enough money, you can sign some autographs and make some extra cash on the side. If people want your autograph, nobody's going to want the lacrosse defensive backs, autograph. Wow. Probably. But, I mean, I'm just saying, if you don't end up doing something along those lines, you're going to make it to where we saw at the women's NCAA tournament, the discrepancy between the men's weight room and the women's weight room. That's not going to get better if you just all of a sudden say, open the floodgates and pay the people that will bring in the most money, because that's what it will be. You're going to pay the most to the people that bring in money to the program, to the university. If that happens, all of a sudden you're going to limit scholarships to all the other sports. You're going to cancel a bunch of sports, and the discrepancies between right. men's and women's sports and good big-time sports and small sports are going to just go by the wayside. Some of them are just going to be like, oh, you're out. We can't pay you anymore. We can't pay for your Speedos and your goggles and your pool time to upkeep the pool anymore, because we have to pay, Timmy Thompson that's coming in to be our starting quarterback.
But that can't happen. I mean, no, I don't think anybody is saying that, or they shouldn't be saying, that colleges should get in bidding wars and turn this into NFL free agency and have to have a salary cap and everything else. I hope nobody is saying that, because that's ludicrous. And if it got to that point, then you might as well shut the entire operation down. But my proposal yesterday did not say that. My proposal was a stipend for everyone out there, every college athlete. If you want to take the money, then you can take the money, but we're not giving you a free education. You can be an employee of our university, and we'll pay. I'm not even going to go $20,000, because there's no way I'm giving $20,000 to a lacrosse player when he doesn't generate one dime on my campus. So I'm going to go six. So you could take $6,000. But you have the freedom to go and earn. You become your own company. You have the power to an earning potential to go out there and sign autographs or make appearances and, $100 at, Fuddruckers or whatever. Go to kids' parties, dress up like a clown. You do whatever you want. You got to stay within the legal zones of everything. Obviously, you can't do anything illegal to make money. But if you have legals and you show up for your responsibility as an employed professional athlete on our campus, so we'll give you the stipend. You make whatever money you can on your own. Otherwise, we have this other option for you where we'll give you a college degree. We'll give you a scholarship. And with that scholarship, you have to get an education. You actually have to go to class now. And so you have to then follow the rules of a college athlete. So you have a choice. We're going to give you a choice. But the choice is yours to make, and then you have to act accordingly from that point forward. That way it is fair. Everybody has the exact same option. Doesn't matter if you're in the band, on the chess club, or you're the star quarterback of the football team. You can choose to become a pro on our campus, a pro employee for a really small salary, or you can have a degree. But once you choose one, that's what you are. going forward. To me, I think that's the ultimate solution right there. And if you don't do it, then you're going to have all of these young players, especially the, not all of them, but the elite guys are going to run for the minor leagues. They're not going to deal with this anymore, this campus life stuff anymore. They're just not going to deal with it.
Yeah, well, man, I mean, I like your proposal. I do. I just, ultimately, when I was thinking about it, and I thought about it quite a bit last night, I just don't think there's a way where you can basically start walking down this slippery slope and not fall and it turn bad. I really don't. And what I was bringing up was just something where it's maybe it's good enough to where it's just across the board, everybody's kind of treated fairly, because that's what people in the world want right now, is everybody be treated equally and fairly. And then all of a sudden, if you could do it that way, maybe it would qualm the ideas of something getting out of control that's happening kind of behind the scenes or extracurricular on as far as money and compensation and boosters and all kinds of other stuff.
When is the Supreme Court going to rule on the NBA lottery being rigged? We'll discuss that next. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
In one out.
Hey, good morning. It is Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobson with you. Chuck and Buck in the morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Don't miss Angie Mintink today at 8:30. Also, we got the eight top stories of the day for you at 8 o'clock, the Ocho. I can tell you right now, Bucky, that item number three is the NBA playoffs / the NBA lottery, which will be held tonight. So, all right, you got ping pong ball mania going right now. Have you and Bear practiced, selecting ping pong balls out of the big hopper?
Nope. Oh. Well, we do have, actually, I do have a bunch of ping pong balls around here that Bear likes to put in like a
big night for this, ping pong balls.
Like a roll thing and roll them around and shoot them out of this like tube thing. But no, we haven't actually practiced the rigged NBA lottery just yet.
Well, this is a valuable lesson for a child right here, you know.
Right?
The world's not fair. There are cheaters everywhere you look, and don't take anything at face value. This is a chance to sit down and teach your 3-year-old one of the cold, hard, factual realities of life.
All right, well, I could do that. I was figuring we could do, like, I could put ping pong balls, we can write on them, like, Bear or Dad, and then pull them out, and whoever's name is pulled gets ice cream or a popsicle, but I just write my name on all of them, and every time we pull one out, I get the ice cream.
Or the famous one, the first one, which was the Patrick Ewing one, where they said that there was a frozen envelope. So if you put your ping pong ball in the hopper and then Bear's ping pong ball in the hopper, and then you just pick the cold one.
Oh, yeah.
In a frozen envelope. They're famous that they froze the Patrick Ewing envelope. So, because at that time, it was just seven. They had seven teams, and they put all seven envelopes into the, and then they spun it. And the belief is that they froze one of the envelopes so that when David Stern was rummaging around, that he would come across the cold one, and he would take the cold one out of there.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
If
so
you can rig it, there's a whole bunch of easy ways you can do it. That's one of them.
This is the story. And I say a lot of it tongue-in-cheek when it comes to this, but I do believe that when it's important, when there's something of value on the line, I think that they do it. I really do, in the National Basketball Association. And, if I was commissioner, maybe I'd do it too. I don't know. I don't think that I would. But there's no doubt that I think Stern did it a few times, and I think even Silver has done it a few times for what benefits, the situation the most. And I think a lot of them are done through favors. I'm telling you right now, I think LeBron James has been responsible for about five different lotteries being rigged. And I'm not even kidding you. I think when he went to Cleveland, I think that when he left Cleveland, when he was getting ready to go back to Cleveland, I mean, the Cavaliers won like three of these things. And so, I realize I sound, like conspiracy nutbag right now. I don't believe in a lot of these conspiracies. As a matter of fact, I believe in very few of them in sports. But this is one that I buy. I remember the Tim Duncan year where the Spurs had like 1.5% chance of winning it, and it was famous because Patino was the Boston Celtics, and they had like a 75% chance of winning. They had like the first and second pick, in terms of odds that year, and the Spurs ended up with the number one pick, And it just so happened that San Antonio was thinking about moving, and they had a vote right then and there on whether or not to build a new arena. You don't think that David Stern thought that maybe if we give you the number one pick, Tim Duncan, the most coveted, anticipated number one pick, you know, he was supposed to be the number one pick 4 years in a row, and he finally came out. So, yeah, there was an anticipation that he was going to be special. And sure enough, the Spurs, they got a stadium vote coming up, and what happens? They end up with a 1.5% chance of getting the number one pick. They got the number one pick.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that I mean, I'm with you. I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist. I just don't subscribe to that. It's kind of, I like to take things what they are at face value more often than not, even though there's probably a little bit of doubt in certain things that I do that with. But anything that involves business, and business that involves a ton of money, which professional sports kind of check all those boxes, anything that kind of has all of those variables riding on it. I mean, you just mentioned the one basically with the proposal for a new arena. And if you don't get the new arena, we've seen it here firsthand what happens if you don't have you don't get what the Basketball Association deems as necessary to keep that team there. All of a sudden, you could potentially lose your team. As a commissioner, that's the last thing that you want to have happen. And so if you can figure out something like, hey, here you go. Here's the prized possession that is Tim Duncan. We can gift you that. Now, all of a sudden, that can maybe turn things around to where you get granted, you know, everything passes and you can go through with getting the new arena. If you have something like that, that type of a financial burden that's kind of rested at the feet, I most certainly believe that there's cheating that goes on and stuff like this.
Zion Williamson? All right, so, you know, the Pelicans had Anthony Davis. That's who they were going to build their franchise around. And there was all that talk about, you know, him going to L.A. And you know, how's L.A. going to get Anthony Davis? Do they don't have what it takes to trade for Anthony Davis. Well, they sure found a way. They found a way that offseason in order to get Anthony Davis so that they could team him with LeBron. Here we go, LeBron again. He's like Kevin Bacon for the lottery. Like, you're eight moves separated from LeBron and rigging of the NBA lottery. And so, all right, here comes the lottery. All right, Anthony Davis, we're going to get him out of New Orleans, and we're going to encourage them to trade him to L.A. And in return, a little favor, we scratch your back, you scratch ours, we'll get you Zion Williamson. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
All right, come on.
I have a hard time thinking that stuff like that doesn't happen, especially – I don't know why I think it's especially in the NBA. I'm sure that there's weird things that happen just across sports in general. Like I said, anything that involves this kind of money, you're going to have people
because
that are
trying to skirt the rules. Because of the frozen envelope. Because they froze the envelope, and it worked, and New York got their building block and everything else. And from that that point forward, Stern and his disciple, Silver, were in a position where, like, you know what, we're not going to use this every year. But if we need to use it,
but every once in a while.
Yeah. I absolutely believe that they do that. So as we get ready for tonight's NBA lottery, and they've kind of changed the rules, and people will say, well, how could you even suggest that? They've got like a law firm that overlooks this and everything else. Because lawyers aren't willing to take money under the table.
Right.
There are three teams that have the exact same equal chance of getting the number one pick. This is kind of new math that they've done with this, trying to keep people from tanking. That's worked. Houston, Detroit, and Orlando all have a 14% chance of winning this. So, if you follow my theory, all right, so here's Houston sitting there with James Harden, doesn't want to be there anymore. They don't want to trade him. You know, we got to get Kevin Durant some talent up there in that New York area. So, Harden ends up in Brooklyn, even though the compensation was weird. For James Harden in return. Houston ends up, I don't think, winning another game the whole season. They end up with the worst record in the NBA. And so it'll look like, all right, where are the conspiracy theories? The team with the best chances of getting the pick are going to get the pick. They're going to get the pick tonight, Bucky. Houston's going to get the pick. This is the perfect scenario for the NBA and its rigging history. We got the team with the best percentage chance of getting the number one pick, who also needs the pick more than anybody else, and it also allows us to pay off our debt. They scratched our back by trading him to Brooklyn, and now we're going to give them the number one pick. So there you go. The number one pick tonight will belong to the Houston Rockets.
Even though, yeah, it's an equal with the Pistons and Magic, the equal chance, they all have the equal chance of getting first, second, third, and fourth, but then somehow the Rockets have, like, exponentially bigger chance of getting the fifth. I don't even understand how the math works on the whole thing, but they figure it out, and I think they do it in a convoluted way to where it's like, okay, all you conspiracy theorists out there, you think we're cheating? You're right, but we're going to make it seem like it's totally up to chance.
Yeah, if you were cheating, wouldn't you come up with devise a system that makes it look like there's no way you could cheat?
You would think.
This is Lance Burton. This is David Copperfield magic. He didn't really make the Statue of Liberty disappear.
What, he didn't?
Oh, yeah, wow. He just made it look like that he did. Okay, so this is the sleight of hand stuff right here. So I love Adam Silver. I don't love him any less because of I know this. But I absolutely believe that when it's right for the league, when they've got a favor that they owe, or when financially it benefits a certain situation, that they absolutely use this one thing that they get to rig to produce desired results. And so I think they'll do it again this year, and I am going to predict that the Houston Rockets have the number one pick so they can take Arlington, Texas's own Cade Cunningham with the number one overall selection. All right, coming up next, it's the ABCs of the M's right here on Chuck and Buck, Sports Radio 950 Cade.
Swinomish Casino and Lodge.
It is the ABCs of the M's here on Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Eight top stories of the day coming up, but that's not the spirit of the ABCs of the M's. It's a daily segment where we talk to Mariner baseball, but we don't necessarily hit the top story. Gives us a chance to discuss some of the equally as interesting periphery stories out there regarding our baseball team. And so we use the alphabet as our guide. We left off yesterday at the letter O. That is where we will begin. So, Bucky, O is for offensive output, which we've had. I think that, you know, whatever we were experiencing through those first 7 weeks of the season, where I was even to the point where I thought maybe Tim Laker needed to be shown the door. And I still wouldn't have had a problem with that, by the way, even though the offense has rebounded. Here we are. I think we're past that. I don't think it's ever going to be that dismal again. And then maybe with these pitchers being cracked down upon with the substance use, we're going to see just more offense in general going forward. So I'm kind of over my fear that when I tune in for a Mariners game, I'm hoping not to be no hit through 7 1/3 innings.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty much over it too, but that's just because you just shouldn't be seeing 6, 7, 8 no hitters in the first half of a season. That just is ridiculous. Now, for whatever reason, I mean, I think it's a combination of multiple different things that has made the offense just kind of go down, and maybe they are cracking down on one with the whole sticky situation with pitchers, but I'm with you. I mean, I think that it just boils down to young guys. You have to figure out where your holes are, and the way that you figure it out is by the best pitchers in the game that know how to locate. Once they find it, they just pound that spot, and next thing you know, you're like, wow, I got to figure out how to hit that. I mean, if I don't figure out how to hit that, they're going to keep going after it. I think this is just one of those situations. Youngsters maybe didn't have that hole, or they didn't recognize that that was such a big hole in their swing until guys just one time after another just start abusing that same spot. So I'm hoping that it what we're seeing right now is just kind of a sign of things to come. And I do believe that what we saw as far as the futility of the offense a month ago, that is something of the past.
P is for power. I guess I've got to give up on the notion. I mean, I was pretty aggressive with my offensive numbers for Ty France at the beginning of the year. He's hit more home runs here as of late, but he's still like on pace for like 14 this year. And I thought he was going to hit over 30 this year. How far should I reduce my expectations for that power number for Ty France this year?
Well, I mean, I think that he legitimately, even with what I've seen this year, I think he still is a legitimate 20-plus guy on just about a regular basis. This year, he might struggle to get to 20. I mean, yeah, you're right. Somewhere around 14 or 15 is what he's projected to get. I would probably guess a little bit over 15, somewhere 16, 17, coming up short of 20. But he's been dealing with getting plunked more than just about anybody in the league, and it, in places on his arms where that's a big part. I mean, just how you can hold the bat if you're hitting the forearm is one thing, and then we know now that that left wrist isn't, it's an actual injury, and I think that he played through it for a while, and that ended up kind of putting him on the shelf for a little while longer. Now we don't know. We'll see today if he's back playing. If your wrist isn't as strong as it's supposed to be or as strong as it normally would be, you're going to do your deficiency in your power is going to drop for sure. So while this year I don't think his power numbers are going to be what we had hoped they were going to be, I still legitimately think he's a 20-25 home run guy for sure.
Yeah, I'm I think so too. And I don't his numbers, that was the outlier. Well, we saw in the first couple of months, that was the strangeness right. of Ty France's season. Whatever we get going forward, I have a feeling we're going to get a much more representative example of what kind of hitter he could be. I just saw somebody in the spring, Bucky, that I was just convinced. This man has been kept a secret by the San Diego Padres, and I know he's been given chances to try to prove himself in a San Diego uniform, and it just didn't come together. But, man, I don't know how. That's the kind of guy I was watching in the spring, and then all of a sudden he's got three home runs 2 months into the season, and you're thinking to yourself, well, maybe he's just not a gamer. Looks like he's got the right approach, but maybe the Padres had just worn out, their expectations. Like, maybe they just didn't have any faith in him at the major league level, but I think we're starting to see that maybe that spring training assessment could still have a chance of being right.
Yeah, I think it will be, man. I mean, I think he's going to be a guy, power-wise, very similar to, like, Kyle Seager, right? And I don't consider Kyle Seager a power hitter, but he's definitely a guy that has pop, and he can hit 20-25, but he's never a guy. I never have a thought that Kyle Seager is going to pop 40 home runs for some reason, whereas Ty France, 40 might be a little bit on the overzealous side, but I think 30 is something that's potentially achievable, just like it is potentially achievable to Seager. More often than not, he's going to fall somewhere between 25 and 30.
All right, Q is for quit. Angie Minting's going to be joining us here at 8:30, Bucky, and she needs to just quit humoring me. She tells me every week I got great ideas for her pregame show, and then I never get to see those ideas. They never bring them to the table, so she needs to quit
doing
that.
Just wanted to quit doing that? Yeah. Well, I mean, I think maybe she found out that doggy goggles is already a thing, and so
doggy goggles is a thing?
Yeah, they already have those. I didn't want to rain on your parade
while
you guys
dogs?
Were having. Yeah. So they can ride like motorcycles or bicycles or something. I don't know. I don't know why. I've never got doggy goggles for any of my dogs, but they have them out there already.
Oh. What were we going to use them for? Oh, yeah. She got her dog got hurt in the eye
scratched.
With something.
Yeah. Eye scratch. Cornea.
Yeah. Well, she could use a pair either way. maybe we just come up with a better pair. I've already thought about this. Doggles is what we'll call them.
I wouldn't be surprised if that name is actually already taken too, Chuck.
Well, then people are just jerks. All right, coming up next, the eight top stories of the day for you. We call it the Ocho. It's Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950K.